this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Now let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm out. Ricardo on the board. SP Futures up 2, NASDAQ Futures down 750. Ricardo, how about turning the knob that lets me hear myself, because I can't hear myself at all here.
Is that better?
No, I still can't hear myself at all.
How about that? Is that better?
Yeah, a little bit. There you go. Thank you.
No problem at all.
Do we have Professor Carl?
Yes, we do.
Hey, Carl, what's up, man? How are you?
Well, I'm, I'm okay. It's, yesterday was the start of a fairly significant project around here. I did all prep over the weekend, but I wrecked out my deck and I'm rebuilding it because, after... close to 20 years of being here, it was getting kind of sad and needed some help.
Are you good on the footings and all that stuff? He's going to replace the top or what?
Footings are okay, but the grid had a number of really sad stringers, so those needed to come out. And the ledger boards on the house itself are fine. The uprights are they'll be okay. Basically, I made a decision when I started digging into it that it's going to be a 5-year. It's a 5-year deal as opposed to one that'll last, another 20. And reason being, I'm expecting a very large housing crash sometime in the next few years. And when that happens, building materials are going to get quite cheaper. And what I'd really like to do is redo it in Trex. The problem with doing that is that the stringers have to be on 12-inch centers instead of 16s. You can't do 6. I mean, they say now that you can do it on 16s, but I don't.
You don't want to do that.
Well, it's stupid. You won't get the stability that you want, and so it needs to be on 12s, which basically means that the ledger boards all have to come off because they need to be replaced, which you're going to have to put the hangers in different places, and da 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 da. So I'm like, no, we're not doing that this time. And besides, now here's the interesting thing. Okay, so I solicited some bids for this work. And nobody wanted to give me a quote. Look at me like nobody. So myself and a buddy are doing it. And I really only need his help to get the stringers are 2x10s, okay? And they're almost 20.
I'm redoing the deck up on the roof the same as you are, right? The same timing here. 2x10.
The stringers are heavier than a dead priest, okay? And getting them in the brackets single-handed is close to impossible.
Right.
So... it's not even slightly hard for two dudes, but one dude, yeah. Once I have that up, actually decking it, putting the boards on, that's a single man. That's a one-man job. That doesn't require anything.
Well, it depends on how long they are.
Right? Not really. I mean, yeah, they're just not that tough, okay? I mean, I'm using a combination of 16s and 8s because... I'm doing an H pattern to keep it from all being one place. It's too long. It's 20 feet long. You could buy 20 foot boards. You're not going to like what they cost. And secondly, getting them to the site is a problem.
I when I did the deck on the garage, I didn't use the new composite, but I used something called it's a premium cedar tone. You can only get it at Menards, I think. You don't know if you have Menards by you, but you get it at Menards. And Menards is really good at getting you the long stuff. They delivered. We did the I think we did 20 footers or 22 footers or something, and it was a was a lot easier not having to tie in the middle, just all the way across.
Well, 20s are they're available. You're just there's quite a premium on them, and then the other problem is a lot of them are garbage because you know wood these days is not what it was. You know, 20
well, this
years
is the
ago.
Premium stuff, and it was.
Yeah.
Tell you what, those guys, but the guy couldn't get them down the alley, right?
Right.
So Matty Weber and I, we put them in the back of the Suburban, like 10 feet hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
And I just went real slow. He held the back end up so it didn't fall out. We only had to go about four houses.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's, you know, that was yesterday's fun.
Where'd you get all your fasteners?
Oh, I use GKNs. There's only. don't buy the cheap ones.
No, I'm okay, talking about where'd you buy them?
Oh, I we didn't have any trouble getting those. I get those at Lowe's around here, no
right,
problem. But
what I'm saying, I can't believe I'm giving you this advice. There's an outfit in Ohio called Fasteners Plus.
Yeah, I know.
I get all my stuff from there. It's probably 2/3 the price for Cadillac stuff, and they send it. Federal Express, you get it in 2 days.
Yeah, the other thing that was interesting was that, you know, so the big box stores, of course, you know, have these kinds of supplies, right? I took all the measurements and bill of materials into Lowe's and just basically priced everything, and same thing at Home Depot. They were about the same. But 84 Lumber, I think those are up in Illinois, too, but they're all over the South.
I don't think they're here anymore, but I've seen them.
Dude, 84 Lumber was half the price.
Yeah.
Half. Okay. And on top of that, instead of having to pick through the racks and put them in the you know, on the trolley yourself and take them up there, the guy comes out with a fork truck and you know, you just put them in, you know, pick them up, put them in your trailer.
Well, that's the interesting part of Menards. You drive through the warehouse, you just load the stuff right up. But the I ended up using this real high-end stainless screws that actually they recommend for like an ocean, and I got it for a decent price from these guys. I mean, they're high-end stuff.
Yeah, the stainless stuff is very good. The only thing you'd be aware of with those. So when I lived down in Florida, all the fasteners on my dock, I insisted were done in stainless, because if you don't in a marine environment,
there's different grades though.
Well, I understand that, okay, but these, I insisted on all stainless, all the high grade stuff, because you have to near there or else. And you know, 20 years later, the dock was perfectly fine as it stood. And by the way, Trex comes in multiple types, including the stuff that you get at the home stores has like a waffle pattern on the back. It's not solid. That stuff's garbage. You will not like what the solid board stuff costs. You're just going to look at it and go, excuse me?
I ended up using this cedar toner. It's been 5 years. We haven't even had a staining yet. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, anyway. Did you happen to... three things I wanted to ask you. Yesterday, I was unfortunately watching CNBC most of the day.
Oh, you poor man.
I know. But there were a couple guys on there that were really interesting. One, I think you would probably agree with totally, was a guy who ran a bunch of restaurants north of Atlanta. And he was talking about inflation and how people kind of have no concept. Well, people on TV don't want to have a concept. If they looked around, they would have a concept.
Right.
I was right with him on some stuff, but I was kind of surprised on another. He said since 2023 early, or late 2022, he goes, that's how much this stuff has gone up. He goes, don't believe anything here in the government, basically. He said his food prices are up 22% to 23%. This is not since the start of COVID. This is like in the last year and a half.
Right.
He goes, the labor cost is 20. He goes, that I understand, because, you know, they were lagging for a while. He said the single biggest one, any kind of service repair is up at least 50%. God help you if the air conditioner goes out or something like that. He goes, that's up at least 50. Said he has two fryers in one restaurant, one fryer conked out. So he calls the guy in. The guy fixes it for $1,300. And he said the other fryer conked out. They just threw the fryer out and bought a new one for $900. He says, you know, he goes, my average, he says, this, my place, it must be, you know, it's not a high-end dining or anything. I don't know, the guy was rattling off the names, but he said, my average ticket at a table is $48. He says, I make on the 48, 7 to 10. He goes, so $1,300, 130 tables.
Right.
He goes, that's like a real lot of work just to fix the friggin' fryer.
Well, that's, you know, the thing is that it's, so I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's, one of his friends was at the same bar, and he's a contractor. He does, you know, he does decks and stuff like this, right? And, you know, I gave him the basic dimensions and stuff. Oh, you know, that's, you know, that's $8,000 or $9,000. And I said, do you realize that I just bought all the lumber and it was $600, and I've probably got another, you know, $250 in hardware, right? You know, screws, brackets, you know, stuff like this, right? Oh, by the way, yeah, my labor as well. But I said, if you guys think, you know, that if you'd come in and told me, you know, $8,000 or $9,000 to do this in the same materials that it was built originally, I would have laughed at you.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of my guys here works in the building, and he does stuff for me. He goes, some of his buddies that do decks now, I mean, decks might be bigger or something. He goes, they're starting at 25.
If you got to start from zero, okay, because you know you got to put the footers down for the you know for the posts and stuff like that. But that stuff's already there. All right, so I mean,
yeah,
and I'm not changing the uprights. They're not in great condition, but they're an acceptable. You know, they're acceptable.
They'll be fine.
So,
yeah,
they're acceptable. So I mean, you know, it's just like I said. It's you know, this is a 5-year deal. In another 5 years, I'm gonna hook a chain fall to the back of my truck and disconnect every you know the ledger boards and everything. Pull it off into the backyard, wreck it out, and do it the way I really want it done. But I'm like, not the way labor and you know stuff is today. I'm waiting for that. By the way, speaking of which, you know, we talked about the debt thing.
Yep.
And I promised that I would you know come at you with a. With a quick and back of the envelope analysis on
the okay, and I already got our thing for Friday. I'm going to have to save this and send it to you. They're talking about the new Trump economic plan. The new Republican economic plan is so different than the old one, according to these guys.
Uh-huh.
And,
sure it is.
I mean, it's totally different. I mean, you wouldn't even recognize it. That now the CEOs instead of the friends of the party are the enemies.
Well,
I mean, but that's just a piece of it. But there's probably 20 things here you would never guess a Republican.
Okay. So, you know what?
Ban stock buybacks and eliminate tax deductibility of interest? Wow.
Well, okay. I actually... But again, so if you look at the MTS, okay, because, you know, that's fact. Right, I mean, you cannot argue with the MTS. The MTS is the Treasury's checkbook.
Yep.
It tells you exactly where all the money's spent. And we look at this from last fiscal, although the tracking to this year is when it comes to interest, it ain't looking good.
Okay, before you go a step further here, my educated friend, if that's the truth, how come the debt's going up faster than that thing would tell you it is?
Because the off-balance sheet stuff is not in the MTS.
And how does anybody know what the off-balance sheet stuff is?
Well, it actually is in the MTS, just not in detail. The detail's not there, but it is actually there.
All right, so
the off-balance receipts and spend is there.
Okay, now, but if you look at the total for the year,
I get that. But here's the problem. And I get it that they're to some extent they're lying. Okay, they have to be, because otherwise the numbers would all line up, right? And they don't. But let's look at what we have on the piece of paper, because the debt numbers going up faster than that means that the truth is worse than what they're saying. Okay, so let's just work with what they're admitting.
Well, I guess you're talking about the monthly Treasury statement.
That's correct.
Right,
the MTS.
I'm going to pull this up here while you're talking.
And the last one, the one for last fiscal year, the one that is authoritative, and you got to be careful with each month because they play games by paying people late like everybody else does when they get in trouble, right? I mean, that's not news, right? I mean, one of the ways you can spot companies that are about to blow up is that they start stretching their AR, all right? And they don't pay people on time. And so, you know, you start having issues with, you know, with not being able to get paid. And that's if you're their customer, you know, you're vending them something, that person is buying something from you. This is one of the ways that you find out that, you know, the company is probably going to go boom, boom, is that they owe you money and you're not getting it on the normal schedule. Okay. So you have to be careful, and it's particularly you have to be careful with across the fiscal year boundary, because they always do this every September. So if you just look at the September one and you don't compare it against the previous September one, you're going to get a false read. Okay. And particularly where they do this is with CMS, with Medicare and Medicaid, and I'll explain why in a minute. But they do that all the time. So, but nonetheless, the end of the fiscal year one, I mean, so basically what you'll see is like the last month, CMS has a smaller monthly amount that gets paid, then in October it's huge. Okay. Yeah. Why? Because it holds the deficit down. All right. So, of course, you know, for 1 month it holds the deficit down, then it all shows up the next month. All right. So, out of the MTS, here at last fiscal year, here are the out of $6 trillion and change. Defense was $776 billion. Health and Human Services, which contains CMS, is mostly CMS, was $1.708 trillion, $1,708 billion. Interest was $879.
That's climbing, too, with interest.
It's going up. It, by the way, this year, so far, it's up 34%. Okay? So this is, and that's the rollover from debt that was on various terms during the pandemic years when it was super cheap, and all from 2008, you know, on forward. By the way, a roughly five, it's what we're paying right now is roughly a 5% blended rate, which is absolutely bog standard normal. So anybody that tries to tell you that that is ridiculously high is out of their effing mind. It is a normal rate of interest and has been for the last 100 years. Okay. Veterans programs are $301 billion, and Social Security is $1.416 trillion, 1416. Now out of those programs, that's $5.3 trillion of everything, and everything else is less than $800 billion. All the rest, okay? So, you know, the power bill for Congress, right? In order to have the lights on in the building. All right, so attacking Social Security, though, which a lot of people will do because they look at that and say, hey, that's, you know, that is an absolutely huge number, is stupid. And the reason is Social Security took in $1.2 trillion, $1,200 billion last year in tax receipts. And if you attack it and you cut it back, what's going to happen is those tax receipts are going to go down, because people are going to say, I'm not effing working if I'm not going to get anything. All right. And if I don't work, I don't pay. So therefore, that's stupid. And in addition, it's only responsible for $216 billion of the debt, the new deficit, the new debt that's put on every year out of the total. And the reason is because it takes in $1,200 billion. Yes, it spent $1,400, but it takes in $12. So $216 billion is the difference. And that's what it takes. That's the difference.
If you wanted to fix that, you could pretty easy, like another year or something.
That's easy to fix. Yeah. You put 1% on the FICA tax and a modest but immediate and permanent lift to the annual income cap. And all of a sudden, Social Security is in balance. And by the way, 2 years ago, Social Security actually ran a very small surplus on a cash basis.
That's because it wasn't so very many big. People died during COVID.
Well, you know, if you die, you stop collecting.
What a...
All right, so
weren't people reporting a while ago though that the disability part of Social Security is starting to creep up?
It is, and it's and we all know what's causing that.
Yeah,
but I'm going to stay out of the that area of things, because they'll get you banged on, and secondly, we'll end up distracted.
Right.
Okay. All right. So the only other program in that list that has a direct offsetting tax is Health and Human Services, which, of course, has the Medicare tax. Okay, that's an offsetting tax. However, only $358 billion was collected last year, and they spent $1,708 billion.
Is there any, even on the state level, is there any specific Medicaid tax?
No, and in fact, the biggest problem with that 1708 number is that only half of Medicaid's number is in there. The rest is at the state level because it is a state matching funds program.
All right, so do your numbers add up? I'm looking at the world debt clock. It's got Medicare, Medicaid at $1.77 trillion. Is that what you, same number you got pretty much?
Yeah, that, well, that's the spend.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that is federal only. Okay, there's also a huge impact on...
This is just the federal. It's the largest budget item.
Right, and what I'm saying is there is also a huge problem on the state side in terms of impact on state budgets, because in Medicaid, only half of it is from the federal government. The rest is on the states. All right, so here's the problem. You can't... You'd have to increase the Medicare tax rate by 5 times to close that gap. Okay, it's already assessed from $0. And by the way, it does not have a cap out like Social Security does. Okay, that was removed a long time ago. So that's gone. And incidentally, one of the things Obamacare did was that if you have a large amount of income that comes off investments, that's subject to Medicare tax. Didn't used to be. Only earned income. But since Obamacare, yes, it is. So you can't play the tax the rich game with that one. It isn't going to get you anywhere because the rich are already paying it. And oh, by the way, they're paying it on all their investment income, and they're paying it on all of their W-2 income, no matter how high it goes. Unlike Social Security, it does not stop. All right, so there's no way to do that. So there's only two places you can go that actually will work to solve the problem. All right, and I'll do the easy one first. We can go after defense to some extent, and we should have this conversation. And the reason is the NATO target for defense spending for any nation in NATO is 2% of GDP. We do not enforce this, and most of the other nations in NATO do not spend that much. However, we do by quite a bit, but if we were to cut it to 2% of GDP, that would be about $500 billion, which would take $276 billion off, or 36%. Now, for those who say that, oh, no, we can't do that, blah, 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 yes, we can do that. And what we can tell the other nations within the alliance is that if you're going to be ingrates, you're not going to get, period. This treaty and this formation had expectations. We mean it. You're either going to pony up, or we're going to chop off everything that we are currently spending in your nation. You're going to come up to the level that we are. And by the way, our spending is going to go down because you're going to replace it. We get to that. That gets us 250, about probably get us about 250 billion.
That's going to go up, not down. Even if everybody else ponied up.
Sorry, has to go down. Because it's one of the only two places.
Our biggest issue is with China, not with anybody with NATO.
Well, guess what? Everybody else in NATO has the same problem with China we've got. All right.
I don't know about that, but
they will. If they don't think they do, they're wrong. We're all going to have the same problem if China just
the people in NATO have come up some.
They have, yeah. And I'm not arguing that they haven't. They have, and one of the things that Trump did was make a whole lot of noise about that, and he actually got some people to actually spend more of the money that they
he did. The reason why we spend more is we want to be in charge.
Well, guess what? We have to stop that. We're not in charge. Okay. Secondly, we have to go after the medical monopolies across the board.
Without a doubt. That, by the way, we have to. Part of this new plan with Trump. Your interest number.
I put a plan together 10 years ago to cut this spending by 80%, including in healthcare. Now, the problem with doing it.
Simpson, Bowles, and Carl?
Well, here's the problem. The problem with doing this is that if you do it, you're going to produce an immediate deep recession because you're going to take about 6% off GDP immediately, plus the knock-on effects from all the people who are going to get fired who don't provide care to actual people. They're paper pushers. All right, so you could figure this is probably going to produce a short-term decrease in GDP of about 12%. It's going to hit tax receipts temporarily as well for the same reason. All right. However, the clawback that we'll get out of this without having to try in businesses coming back into the United States and redomiciling here as a result of becoming much more competitive will be huge.
What do you mean? Just put more money in the system and then the gross numbers.
Yeah, that doesn't work, and you know right. It doesn't work. Okay, well, now the other thing is.
All right, well, can you answer me. We'll be obviously more on this on Friday, but why?
Let me give you the one more prong first.
Okay, what interest number are you talking about? I'm talking about interest. The interest they're paying is nowhere near 5%.
No, if you take the total, this is from last year, $879 billion. Plus another 228, and other than direct interest costs, that's some of that off balance sheet stuff. That's last year, and it's close to $1 trillion. And by the way, it's as of the last, you know, we got 7/12 of the fiscal in. It's up by 34% this year versus last. So this is accelerating rapidly, and we'd better stop it because
I understand. I'm saying We're talking three. God, every time I look at this, every week it seems like it's going. We're talking almost $35 trillion national debt. All right, so 5%.
Well, only 27 of it counts because the intra agency is the government taking a $20 bill out of one pocket and putting it in the other. That's yes, the interest has to be paid, but it's paid back into the government. It doesn't count.
All right, okay, so but the simple math: $35 trillion. 10% is 3.5. 5% is 1.75. We're half of that.
We're 27.5 for debt held by the public. At last time I looked at it, and that was a couple of days ago. When
public
I did
includes
this.
Other countries.
Debt held by the public, right?
Right.
It's personal corporations, not held by another government agency. At a 5% rate, is 1.37 trillion. In order to maintain that, not add any more to it, which is 22% of all federal spending from last year. All right. So
according to this thing, our last year was only 832. We're still paying 1.5 on a lot of this stuff.
Well, not for very long.
No,
it's all rolling over.
All right. Now, do your last thing.
Last thing, we have to demand zero federal funding get spent by anybody here illegally in the United States, irrespective of what program it falls under. Now, that would require that includes EMTALA, okay, which drives a huge part of the CMS mess. Now, that would require congressional action because as it stands right now, that's EMTALA is law. Okay, fine. However, the executive can do it in one day by throwing every single person in prison under a law that's been on the books since the 1950s. It's 8 U.S.C. 1324. Go ahead and read it. Every single person who aids, harbors, provides assistance to, funds to, or in any other way enables an illegal immigrant in this country is liable for 10 years in the slammer. And if you started locking people up, they'd leave.
Kind of what part are you missing? That even though we supposedly have had a war since 9/11, stealing money from the government is a national sport.
Well, that's true, Chief, but here's the thing. If we don't cut this out, we're going to have a catastrophic fiscal collapse.
I'm with you, but the right people steal. If you and I stole, they'd be happy to throw us in.
You know what? People need to start. You need to start putting people in prison on the medical side. You need to start putting people in prison on the illegal immigrant side. You do those two things, and the executive can do it without Congress. And even if Congress doesn't like it, because the law is already on the books, you do those two things, and the problem fixes itself within a week.
We got a dash, but on Friday I'll let you know because I'll actually probably see my friend this week. He's representing a bunch of people that are coming after for PPP. Virtually everybody's representing never got a dime. They just filed a false application, but then they didn't follow
through. But then they never actually got anything.
Yeah, so now you're
going to spend... And they're going after them anyway.
You're going after them, but the people who got it and never should have got, like, the $5 million, they're okay.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
It's who you are, man.
You know what? If we're going to actually solve this, is you're never going to get Congress to agree to this stuff in the short term, but the executive can do it literally in an hour.
The executive is going to put all his buddies in jail.
Well, you know what? We either start putting the people in jail that are doing this and therefore give them a disincentive, you know, a reason to stop doing it, okay? Or within the next couple of years, we're not going to have a fiscal system.
State of Illinois
to worry about.
Could have gotten a list of the top 100 biggest sleazebags regarding not paying taxes on buying stuff on Amazon years ago. What happens if the 100 biggest sleaze bags and one of them is your wife or something?
Well, guess what? This most favored nations list for being able to break the law with impunity when it's a felony law that has said that you go to prison for 10 years, for 100 years.
Yeah,
and nobody wants to prosecute any of it on either side of the aisle. I'm not going to endorse or back or vote for any candidate that has a history of saying they're going to do things like this and then doesn't. And by the way, that includes Trump, who had every ability to stop the illegal immigration instantly with 8 U.S.C. 1324.
Well, let's, what do you say? We got lots to talk about on Friday, but SP Futures up one, NASDAQ Futures down nine. We also got to talk about the market a little bit on Friday. How long can we go like this? A little longer, it looks like. We'll be right back to Joel on Common. Yep.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. I think most of you know that I'm also the Chief Investment Officer at PTI Securities and Futures. There we invest for and help a wide variety of clients. And you know what? No two are the same. Some have legacy stocks, some concentration issues, some maybe embedded tax issues. The others might need or want some portfolio protection. There could be estate issues or maybe new family members. The point is that we are all unique and the portfolios should match. However, the last several years have seen a relatively one-way market. It seemed that all we needed was to be all in. No protection, no fixed income, just be all in, no matter who you are, what your risk profile or age. Most management firms love that. Take this and like it, no matter who you are. Be careful with that. You are not everybody. I think most see the market view going forward as maybe different than the one looking back, so your portfolio should reflect that. Maybe it's just as simple as your life station has changed. Towards that end, we are accepting some new clients needing a more personal approach and are interested in negotiating the future and not with a portfolio designed for the past. Find me at 312-663-4310. That's 312-663-4310.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now. Right here, right now.
Well, hello, back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen, Ricardo on the board. SP Futures up 2, NASDAQ Futures down 7. Dow Futures up 6. Not much of anything going anywhere here this morning. We've got Home Depot up $1.18. I've got Microsoft up $1.66. Microsoft goes up every day, as well it should. It's going to be the only company left one of these days. Well, we all know that. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 87.5%. The FTSE down 39.5%. Check around on 83, a full 1%. European markets lower as positive momentum fades. Ricardo, you don't want to lose Big Mo. You want Big Mo on your side, buddy. You don't want to lose Big Mo.
Understood.
Nikkei down 122.3%. Hang Seng down 415, 2.1%. Wow. Shanghai down 13.4. Hong Kong stocks lead slide in Asia Pacific markets. Hang Seng down 2%. Yes, it is. Yesterday, as a way of review, Dow down 196, the S&P up 4, NASDAQ up 108. So, mixed market yesterday. We've got bonds, 10-year down 1, 4.43. The Bund down 1, 2.52. Japan unchanged, 0.98. Creeping toward that 1%. That'll be a wow. I mean, we'll have to see how many decades that's been. Oil down $1.35, 78.45. Still hovering in the upper 70s. Brent down 121, 82.50. Natural gas up 4 cents, 2.79. RBOB down 3 cents, 250. Gold, actually down a little bit today. 24.23, that's down 15 bucks, but over 2,400, that's, who'd ever have thought that? Silver down 54 cents, that's up almost 2%, 31.88. Copper up 2 cents, 510. Copper has been the most steady climber here. Not up and down like these other guys, just constant steady after being under $4 not that long ago. And, you know, it's up, what, 25%? That's pretty good in a few months. We have the U.S. dollar unchanged at 108.6, and we have the British pound unchanged 127.1. Crypto up 1,600, 71,335. Another big rally in Bitcoin this week. So far, over 70,000. What do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
Morning, Chief. It's currently 6:38 a.m. here in Chicago. We got 59 degrees Fahrenheit with a high of 84 today. Very warm and humid with variable cloudiness. Windy this afternoon. Risk of damaging winds, hail, and tornadoes at night. Tonight will be cloudy and windy with a strong T-storm, thunderstorm around until after midnight. Storms can bring flooding, downpours, hail, damaging wind gusts, and an isolated tornado with a low of 61 degrees. On the Phoenix, we got 70 degrees Fahrenheit with a high of 96 today. Plenty of sun, and tonight will be clear with a low of 67. On the traffic in Chicago, if you're coming inbound in Kennedy from Monroe's, it's going to be 15 minutes. Inbound Edens from Lane Cook is 38 minutes. If you're coming inbound Dan Ryan from 95th, it's going to be 21 minutes. And Stevenson from 294 to the Dan Ryan is going to be 35 minutes. On the sports in the MLB, we can see the White Sox lost to the Blue Jays yesterday, 9-3 in Toronto. The Diamondbacks lost to the Dodgers in LA, and the White Sox today play the Blue Jays again in Toronto at 6:07 p.m. The Cubs play the Braves in Chicago at 6:40 p.m. and the Diamondbacks play the Dodgers in LA at 9:10 p.m. Back to you, Chief.
The immortal words of Angelica, the Sox, all they do is lose, who cares? Do we have Joel?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, good morning, Chief. Sorry for the late start here today. Boy, you said something in your opening there, and I tried to look up the quote. You know you're old, and you know you're a crazy sports fan when you hear a quote and you can't even find it on Google. Remember Frank Broyles?
Yeah.
Remember, he was broadcasting a game, I think, with Keith Jackson. Or was it Keith Jackson that made the quote? It was Keith Jackson. He was broadcasting with Frank Broyles. And there was a big turn in the game.
It had to be a football game. Frank Broyles,
yeah,
the old coach, right?
Like, old Bo has just changed jerseys. And I remember that. And so I use that. Yeah, that's why I couldn't find it under Frank Broyles. But we got a few minutes here, Chief. What do you want to cover? I mean, is there a company that has earnings tomorrow? A big company? I can't think of the name.
I was stuck watching CNBC yesterday. The name had to go. You couldn't go a minute without the name NVIDIA coming up. It is America's company now. It is now the bellwether, even though Microsoft goes up every day. NVIDIA is the bellwether. It is the stock.
I mean, it's had some amazing reports, and there's been a lot of debates on the pre-market prep show. You know, is it expensive, too expensive? But, I mean, after, like, their last couple of earnings reports, even with the blowout beats and the big price appreciation, it was still trading at a you know, lower forward PE than it was before. So, I mean, everyone needs the chips. They're making money. It's just, you know, are they either going to come out and give guidance that's not good enough? But, you know, this is a momentum market. The stock is having its typical pre-earnings run here, trading right near all-time high. I mean, how can you be short it, right? I mean, it's impossible to be short the stock. And I don't even know what the straddle is probably figured in. It's probably
like 8%.
8%. Yeah. So, you know, how those are good parameters on earnings reports, but they're not 100%. But, yeah, the whole market, and then you got all these Fed speakers going on today and yesterday. We all know interest rates aren't going anywhere for a while.
Straddle's like 80 opinion. Bucks. The issue with that, though, Joel, is that if a stock has this incredible anticipation that they're going to, last time they were like, they're like doubled revenue from the year before. So they have this massive move up. But then when it runs up to meet the new thing, you can't keep doing that. You know, I'm not saying it's not going to happen this time, but everybody's convinced that these guys are going to be up, you know, $100, and it's going to reset every one of the PE. The thing that bothers me a lot, and I'm going to do some calculations today, I worry about the revenue per share more than I do when the 2000 fiasco. I don't care if Cisco made any money or anything. I mean, stuff's growing. This NVIDIA's growing. I get all that part. But when it got to 10 or 11 times revenue on a per share basis, then I start to go, and a lot of these stocks are. And I am not the smartest man around. So I'm not going to say to Joel or the listeners, no way can NVIDIA double or triple. Because I don't know. They could. But one thing I will absolutely say, and I don't ever give trading advice, and this is not trading advice,
all of them can't double or triple. Meta, Microsoft, all that. They can't all do that. The economy's not big enough.
You know, there's one major flaw in your argument, Chief.
Okay.
Common sense. You're using common sense.
Well, that's what I did this. This is how old I am. I did the same calculation in 2000. I said, I don't even know exactly what all these guys do, Cisco and Oracle and all these guys. All I know is if they all reach the point to where their revenue grows to meet the stock price, and I'm not saying any one of them could or couldn't. Obviously, Microsoft has, but they're the only one. They can't all do it.
They can't all do it. That, yeah, and you know, it's interesting because I remember looking at Microsoft a long time ago, and that was the laggard. I mean, that was one of the big tech ones. I mean, that wild. I mean, this is going back to 13, 14. You know, it just like, oh well, Microsoft is always going to be $30. So. You know, it's hard to find out, you know, those kind of stocks, and you know they're out there. And like I say, high expectations for the market. There'll be good volatility. I think another thing that you just kind of have to be aware of too is, you know, stock splits. You know, people love stock splits, so you know they come out, they beat, raise stock to split the stock, and then institute a dividend. I mean, who knows how high that thing can go?
Joel, you can remember, there were people, we used to not do seminars with them, but we'd be at seminar things, and I was doing a lot of speaking for the CBOE, and there were a couple of guys, a couple of places, not they weren't all just guys, actually in those days they were pretty much guys, but what they would do is research companies, and you could pay them for their service. We never did this, but you could research them, and they would take every little hint of if there was going to be a stock split. Mm-hmm. And like a company would have more shares, not, they would just, what's it when you take, you have however many shares approved, authorized, they would authorize more shares. And everybody would say, oh no, man, that means they're going to do a stock split. So they would give you these kinds of hints, with the idea being stock split is absolutely terrific. Now, you and I know that, you know, it doesn't make any difference. It basically is double the amount of shares. But one of the funny thing, though, Joel, I'm talking about a long time ago, when I entered graduate school, University of Chicago had just done a big study on whether stock splits are good for stocks or not. And, mm-hmm. and guess what the conclusion was?
They weren't.
Undetermined.
Undetermined?
Because
yeah.
you could never, not one company ever said, the only piece of news today is a stock split. Everybody said, oh, we have a stock split because our earnings are up. We have a stock split because we're increasing the dividend. There was always one or two other pieces of news with it that were generally positive. So you could never actually isolate the split itself. And you know, somebody, no CEO ever walked out and said, everything else is exactly the way it was. By the way, we're splitting.
No, I mean, stock splits and buyback, I always make the joke in our show, does that mean they're immediately buying the stock back right now? I mean, no, it doesn't. They're waiting for, you know, pull back in the price. But, Chief, I got to hop. I'm just going to say,
all right,
double top under the S&Ps under 5350. But, boom, NVIDIA will determine whether or not that holds, Chief. So we'll talk to you next week.
All right, bud, take care.
Go blue.
Ricardo, you want to go right to Kenny?
Yep.
Yeah, let's go right to, there he is. So what do you say we go right to him? Hey, did you have a chance?
Yeah.
Two things. One, I don't ask you something funny. Did you, I'm not a big watcher of Saturday Night Live, but I do like to watch the Colin Cho and the other guy, the news thing. Did you see the one on Saturday Night?
No, I didn't. Why? What was it? I'm dying to know.
Did they do
a thing on what happened in Congress this week?
No, they did a thing. They had two guys dressed up as cicadas. the black guy was one of them, and the guy was, he's real funny. Who's the other guy? And one of them was the 2007, the 17 year guy, and the other guy was the 2011. It was the first time that, in like God knows how many years, that both of them are coming out the same year.
That was this past Saturday.
They were hilarious. they start lobbing out songs from like 2007. The guy goes, 17 years ago. Oh, you mean that's not still a hit? It's like,
but no, I didn't see it.
Anyway, there was a dude on from Atlanta, I mentioned it earlier, talking about the inflation in restaurants.
Yep.
He was pretty good. He said the amount, the service inflation in the last year and a half has been 50%. If you want to get a refrigerator repaired or something, it's off the chart. He said food was 24. This is in the last 18 months. Food was 24. Wages were 20. But the biggest one over 50 was if you need a freezer repaired or something, he goes, God help you.
I think that's true not only in the restaurant business. Think about in your own house. You can't get a plumber. You can't get an electrician. You can't get anyone to do work like that without paying through the nose. First of all, because there's not a lot of them. And second of all, because just sitting there going, okay, you want me. Here's what it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Did you get a chance to read this morning? It's more of a long-term conversation. Talking about the difference that Trump has brought to the Republican Party in their economic outlook, how different it is from Reagan.
Where was that? Was that in the Journal?
No, it's on CNBC. I don't tell you who wrote the darn thing, but it is really something.
I have to read it. I did not.
How do you pronounce the first name? Eamon
Javers.
Yeah. And it's... Boy, you would never guess this was the Republican mantra. I mean, I'm reading this thing, and I'm going, let's see, financial transaction tax? Yikes. Ban stock buybacks and eliminate tax deductibility of interest.
Under who? Under Trump?
Well, this is the new Republican. They now hate CEOs. They're convinced that the idea that all you do is lower taxes and pony up to CEOs like Reagan, that absolutely is the wrong way to go. Because they don't pay any attention to any normal American, and they're so different that you can't even go there. This is really something. Black American firms from investing in China, a 10% global tariff. Black Chinese firms from access to U.S. capital markets, impose harsh penalties for employees who fail to comply with immigration laws. Eliminate H-2A and H-2B programs for seasonal and this is something. This is not Republican.
This is the new. This is what he's saying is the new Republican platform.
This is the new Republican platform.
Wow, I have to read that. I have not read it.
Yeah, it's but he said that it basically is the Trump's neo-populism, where he's kind of he's sort of in the middle and economically and a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
anyway, it's pretty interesting to read. I don't have any problem with banning stock buybacks, tell you the truth, because all it does is, the only reason why they're there is because people have given themselves stock options. Otherwise, you just give a dividend, right? And one thing
raise your dividend.
One thing is not in here, which I'm surprised. I would like to see corporations pay the same amount as everybody else, but I would like dividends being tax deductible, where you only pay once.
Right.
And how come nobody?
If corporations paid as much as everyone else, we could solve this problem, right?
But if you send you a dividend, that's deductible because then you pay whatever you pay, whatever your bracket is.
Right, right.
I don't understand why that's so simple yet nobody wants it.
Right, because it doesn't allow them to collect twice.
the response is they don't get twice. Nobody pays a dividend.
Right.
Because, I mean, if you walked into a boardroom and says dividend, you'd be kicked out. Just saying. So what are you thinking? Yesterday, the whole story is how much higher can we go? NVIDIA, if they jump up $100, all of a sudden they're going to take all the other stocks. They're now going to be priced up the same amount. What do you make of all that?
So I do think that this week it is all going to be about NVIDIA. I think it's going to be about AI. Have you tried the newest iteration of chat GPT 4.0 plus? Have you tried that?
You're talking to the biggest Luddite on earth.
Let me just say something. If you just play with it for a little bit, you'll be amazed. You can talk to it like you and I are talking, just like this. No special pronunciation, no going slow, no, just a conversation like this, and it hears you and it responds. If you ask it a question, then at the end it then takes all everything you've just said and responds. And I have to tell you something, it's amazing not only at the speed at which it responds, but how it responds. Now, I tried it all weekend, right? So there are things like, if you talk to it about the market, current market conditions, the information is not correct. I will say that is not correct. But if you talk to it about, you know, medical issues or heart heart conditions or cancer or other diseases, the response that it gives you is spot on in terms of symptoms or side effects of drugs or, you know, all this other stuff. It gives it, and it gives it to you in a split second. It's unbelievable. And when you think about it, ChatGPT uses nothing but NVIDIA chips. And if this is the future, and it's changing almost every day. And so if this is the future, I can't wait to hear what Jensen Huang has to say on Wednesday. I think they're going to blow it out of the water. I think that he's going to give robust forward guidance, and I think the stock is just going to go higher. Okay. And then, you know, by default, it will drag the NASDAQ higher. It'll grab all the excitement around AI stock, so they will all go higher for sure.
But why do you? But at what point? I mean, I went through the other day. I don't have it in front of me, so I shouldn't say. But in terms of, I mean, they're growing like a weed. I get that part. But how do you contrast every time they grow the stock? The stock is, that doesn't, the earnings don't grow into the stock. The stock goes up even more. And at some point, how many times? What are they like? 30 times revenue or something? 20 or something?
Yeah, but their revenues are expected to be up 256% year over year. Right, net income is supposed to be up 760% year over year.
Okay.
Right, their margins are expected to be 55.5%. Those are stunning numbers. And if you think that we're still in the infant stages of AI, which I think we are, I just think it continues to drive the conversation and to take stocks higher and to,
well,
and
I've got them
at, going to start the spread.
I've got, right, them at 26 times revenue, which is.
Yeah, but I don't think 30 times revenue for NVIDIA is, I don't know, is that historically expensive? I'd have to go back and look.
But I mean, but now they're growing to the point. I guess that I'm trying to figure out, Kenny, and you're probably my best source. The guys from Microsoft, they came out with, not Microsoft, the Apple came out with the, you can get all this AI in one of their laptops or one of their.
But
I'm saying, and somebody else came out and said for $200 you can get this or that. I don't get the connection between why is it going to stay so expensive having to use those guys. I mean, it seems like other people are already nipping at them.
Well, I think I do think that there's competition, you know, coming down right behind them. I absolutely do think that. But I also think that, you know, NVIDIA at the moment, kind of like Apple, you know, is just way out there in the lead. And so I think you got to enjoy the ride.
But here's what I did, my half-assed calculation. The revenue first quarter was $22 a share, all right? 61 for the
NVIDIA?
Yeah, 61 for the year. All right, so obviously they're growing pretty darn fast. So I'm going to say I picked the number 90 for the year. All right, so last year was 61.
Yeah.
I'm probably a little light on the 90. Shares outstanding are 2.5 billion. So that's $36 36 per share, 26 times revenue. Because the stock's 9 something. 26 times, when Cisco in 2000, Cisco got to 10 is when it crashed. So 26 times revenue is really high. I mean, even if you say 2 or 3 years from now, these guys will be doing 200 a share, they're still in the 20s. On revenue. I mean, and you're right about one thing, though. Their margins are incredible. I mean, their
margins are incredible, and I still think it's very, very early in this game. I think this is, you know, I was very skeptical for a long time, but, you know, the more they develop it and the more you see what AI can do and things like ChatGPT and now all these other ones, it's really, to me, it's amazing. It's amazing to me. And partly it's a little bit nerve-wracking. But partly it's just amazing. So I'm bullish on it. I think, you know, you can say what you want. It's expensive 30 times, but I think it's so cutting edge, and so kind of, so, you know, space age-ish, right? 25th century, that it just is amazing to me. So,
well, I think some of the AI stuff is, the question is, do you need their big honking stuff going forward to do it? That's my question. I mean, right now, I mean, these are the questions I'm asking. I mean, you've been riding this way more than me. I've never, but I mean, if the thing were to go to, if they were to triple their revenue, Now they're down to, which is a lot. I mean, it's a lot.
Yep.
Then now they're down to 9 times revenue, which is a lot. You know, at some point, I mean, I know how much they charge for their big, the thing is not really a chip, right? It looks like a car engine, for God's sake. And nobody's got one, but it seems like other guys are sort of getting there with a lot less than that.
Well, listen, I guess we're going to find out.
Without a doubt.
We'll hear it on Wednesday. We'll hear what he has to say. And they just announced a new chip, you know, which is even supposed to be faster and more incredible than the latest version they currently have, which, so I'm anxious to hear what he has to say about that.
Well, they're not really a chip, right? I mean, everybody thinks a chip is a little thing you put on your finger.
Yeah, no, right. Well, they call them chips, right? But they're not chips. But they think that I can't wait to hear what he has to say about that.
Well, maybe that's one of the reasons why I'm not really that fond of the places. He strikes me as the two-bit carny huckster in the natural.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, but here's what I said this to my note this morning. He knows. They know what their results are. They know what they're going to say. They know what the estimates are. They know what the expectations are. If NVIDIA was going to miss those expectations, they would have for sure have forewarned a couple of weeks ago. I don't think that's the kind of news you wait until the day of to say, oh, by the way, you know, the expectation was $24.5 billion and we made $22 billion, or they missed it by a significant amount. I don't think they would do that because he'll get absolutely crushed in the market, right? So that's another reason why I think he's coming out with more positive information. I think he's going to beat the estimates.
Well, straddle's like 84 bucks.
Say it again?
The straddle's like 84 bucks. If you want the stocks trading 952, the 975 calls are $30. So you need, what do you need? You need 25 plus 30. You need 55 hours to break even on the upside.
I think the odds.
Kenny, we just lost you.
Yeah, I think he just got, he got locked out of the Zoom meeting.
He did? Well, you know, that's what happens. He must be on his yacht, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we head off to a quick break? If he comes back, we'll give him another comment. If not, we'll go right to hell.
Absolutely.
All right.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Good morning.
Give us a call about your stock. 888-76-JOCKS. That's 888-765-6257. Or email us stocksandjocks@live.com.
There was long one.
Hello, we're playing Stacks and Jacks. I'm out. Ricardo on the board. SP Futures up 2, NASDAQ Futures down 11. We have Kenny for his final comments here. Or we don't. Or are we going right to hell?
Yes, we should. Yeah, he's in the meeting.
Kenny, you with us?
Oh, okay, he's gone. We got Hal, though.
He gone. Who was that before your time?
Kenny needed a cappuccino.
Yeah.
Early on the West Coast.
So which sports announcer was he gone? You know, you don't know this stuff, Hal. And Ricardo's too young. It was Hawk Harrelson. They come out to get the other pitcher. He gone. He gone. Which he was. He's walking off. He gone, you know.
Well, that's how my phone conversations went in the early 2000s after I got my PhD. I find your audience is going to find it hard to believe that I was very talkative.
God.
But I was more talkative in the early 2000s. And I'd be on phone conversations with co-authors and friends, and I'd just be rambling on, right, for 15 minutes without taking a breath. And all of a sudden, friends would say, or co-authors would say, gotta go, Hal. Click.
See ya. Gotta go.
I never took offense to it.
you know where that line was? Gotta go?
No, huh?
You ever watch the movie The Natural?
Yeah, a long time ago when I was a little kid. I honestly didn't buy that he could play baseball. I could buy the guys in.
He was actually very good at it. They didn't have to do much coaching.
Yeah, I mean, you see, Greg Brady play basketball on the Brady Bunch, and he was like, that guy isn't a sporto, right? The guys in Hoosiers, they could play ball, right? But I never bought him as a baseball player. Now Kevin Costner, on the other hand, he's believable as a baseball player. He's believable as a cowboy, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna say that Robert Redford, they claim that he had a pretty natural swing. They didn't have too much to him.
Really? I mean, it was kind of, for me, it was kind of like Leonardo DiCaprio playing that Irish gangster in Gangs of New York. He wasn't believable, but Daniel Day-Lewis, boy howdy, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Dude could act, man. That his performance in And There'll Be Blood and Gangs of New York, just off the...
Well, he was... Look at the condition he had to get himself in for the, was it the Last of the Mohicans?
Yeah. Oh, man.
He did all the running. He did all that stuff. He did himself.
Yeah. The funny thing about, I was reading this about Native American biology. They didn't have horses. The Europeans brought the horses to the Americas. The horses in the Americas were, I think, these small dog-sized horses, right? And
I think we might have burros. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Native Americans, when they went on hunts, they went on these long, like, runs, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And so they're, you know, and biology selects the most capable, right, through thousands of years. And I read that evolution, it contributed to the inability of Native peoples to absorb alcohol in their system like Europeans. And I think I have the same thing because I drink two beers and I'm blacked out. My nickname in the Navy was Two Beers. So if I have two beers, especially if they're oatmeal stouts, I might be talking to you, but I'm not going to remember it the next day. I'm just blacked out. Something happens with my brain that turns off the changing of short-term memories into long-term memories. So that's the funny thing about each one of us. We're infinitely unique.
You're all unique. One of my friends used to be a state's attorney, and you hear all the jokes on the old Westerns, which they probably shouldn't have done, regarding American Indians and their alcohol issues.
There's a biological basis for it. The way they had to run to hunt.
Really? Well, one of the dudes told me that they arrested some guys. There's a few Indian bars in Chicago, and anyway, the guy went up there and arrested this guy. And dude calls up from the jail 2 days later and says the dude's still drunk. He's still testing 2 point. He's not burning it off at all.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's...
I think it goes back to those ancient hunts where they had to, constantly jog and run. Kind of like Daniel Day-Lewis in that movie, right?
Well, yeah, he was in... You know what? Talking about, we got on the subject of baseball movies. I promise I'll get off it. Remember the Lou Gehrig story? With, was it Gary Cooper?
I never watched the movie.
It's a great flick. I mean, because Lou Gehrig was probably... I don't know. They say who was by far the best guy that ever played baseball, and they said without a doubt it was Lou Gehrig. He was an absolutely terrific guy. Great. I mean, he's one of the top five two sport athletes that ever lived. He played fullback at Columbia. Yeah. He was a big star. Hence the name. I mean, that's why one of the reasons why. Well, can't really be definitive on this, but much higher percentage of people, males at least, that get ALS have had played contact sports. No, but then again, women get it too. So it's not like I'm I got this all figured out. I don't. But a lot of those people, a couple guys from Notre Dame died of that were football players when I was there. I mean, it's more prevalent. Anyway, I think it was Gary Cooper. He couldn't bat left-handed.
Huh.
So they let him bat right-handed. and just flip the film around. Imagine that in those days.
Yeah.
I mean, now you could do it with AI, but I mean, in those days. So, I don't know if you heard me talking to Kenny a little bit about NVIDIA, and it's one of the reasons why I love the business, Al. You never really know. You see companies valued, oh my God, they're going to take over the world and the thing's 90 bazillion earnings, and nobody cares. I mean, and then you see maybe it comes down a little bit, you get a little competition. All of a sudden, one day out of the blue, and I cannot predict the day, oh man, they're not an innovator anymore. They're just another retailer. Like, try eBay, someplace where the thing you could not short that stock, or you'd be carried out forever. I don't know if anybody remembers it. All of a sudden, one day, they're just another retailer. Amazon's the new one. Okay, then. Yeah. You know, I mean, someday, somewhere, you know, this idea that every time NVIDIA moves up, they got to be priced even more as an innovator. Somewhere that turns the other way. I'm not saying it's here. Boy, so I don't know if I'd short it for tomorrow, or I think it's tomorrow, or it might be Thursday. I'm not going to short it for that because they come out with a message now, and the message is usually good. Stock goes way up, and other stuff goes with it. But now the entire market is trading that way like it's already happened.
Yeah.
Now the question is, someday are they going to come out with what everybody expected, the best news on earth, and everybody goes, that's what we all expected. We're not going any higher. I mean, you don't see that now so much. Now, stock will run up in anticipation of good news. You get good news and it runs up some more. You know, that's.
Well, you get bad news that runs up, right?
Yeah, now you get. But I mean, it's still, as you and I think, a lot of that's still money in the system, those kinds of things. But the fact is, someday, somewhere, and Kenny's right, and right now, this thing is 26 times revenue, which is 2.5 times where Cisco was on its top in 2000. Now, NVIDIA is not Cisco. This thing, it could be cheap. Who the hell knows? But someday, somewhere, stock is not going to trade at 26 times revenue.
Well, now,
is it this year, next year?
I think part of the play with NVIDIA is, I think investors, I think they're pretty smart. They're playing with their own money. And I think they're calculating the probability that corporate tax rates go up or regulations get even more onerous. And as those two things happen, it makes hiring labor very expensive. I used to teach that firms cost for about 70% labor cost for about 70% of firm cost, right? So when you have all these regulations that are being rolled out, and the cost of complying with them increases, and you got the threat of higher taxes, whether you think that's good or not, a consequence of that is the fact that now firms can substitute out of human labor for a lot of jobs. And I think what investors are kind of thinking is that this stuff just marches on forward, kind of like the minimum wage on fast food workers in California, triggering a switch to AI, to automation, to self-help kiosks, you know, customer-driven kiosks and point of sale systems instead of seeing a human. I think what they're betting on is this regulation and that these costs are going to be levied on the firms is just going to get more onerous, which is going to cause a massive shift earlier than would have otherwise happened, shift into AI and automation.
But we're talking
that
about...
That could be really bad for the worker.
I'm with you, but we're talking about kind of two different things. You're talking about NVIDIA and their...
I think investors are pricing that kind of stuff in.
Okay, it's not you missing it. It's me not explaining it properly. You are absolutely correct regarding NVIDIA. All right. God knows these guys could quadruple in 2 years. I mean, but what I'm saying is whenever you're undefined as to the future, stuff can trade anywhere. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give a couple of old guy examples now, long before my time. Railroads. You couldn't value them. Oh my God! They're gonna do this. They're gonna make so much money you won't even be able to count it. The dreams of avarice. All of a sudden, one day, how many trains are they running? 25. How much are they making per train? As soon as that happens, all of a sudden it becomes defined.
Well, I think what happened with trains is that something else popped up. You know, people got.
No, it has to do with once you start being able to put some numbers on it. Another massive example was NBC. NBC, and because television was coming, traded higher and higher. It took years for it ever to match the price before there actually was a TV. Mm. I mean, because I'm saying you can't. These guys, I know. I mean, I'll ascribe this and put a big bet down that 10 years from now, this thing is not 26 times revenue.
I agree with you. Yeah. Because
now the question is when. Yeah. Is it nine and a half? In which case, the stock's $50,000 could be. Is it next week?
Some other firm that is developing a quantum computer that doesn't do, zero one digital. Yeah. It does infinite many with it, like, I don't know, a quark. That maybe that company, that guy that comes out with that technology, has all the software, everything built for that system. And that launches in 10 years, and NVIDIA would implode.
Well, the most fascinating part, I think, in the industry, and what keeps me loving it, you know, is trying to figure out these trigger points.
Yeah.
When are these guys just going to be another chip place? Yeah. They will someday. Now, it might be...
If they don't make it to the quantum computer first, they're going to be Nokia, right?
Well, but how much AI do you and I need? I mean, if all of a sudden, I didn't even know Microsoft did computers, but they said the other day, aren't they coming out with a computer that has some AI in it? It's like $200 or something, or for the AI add-in. I mean,
yeah, they want to be the first for the AI computer, right? That's their goal.
Yeah, and Apple's going to come out with something. Now, it's not going to be NVIDIA. It's not going to be something some huge company can buy and do all kinds of crazy stuff with. It's not something a law firm can buy, probably, but. Who the hell needs law firm stuff? My point is, at some point, what's going to happen to where people say, man, they're really a great company, they're doing terrific, but they're not priced this way. Yeah. That doesn't mean the day that happens, I bet they're making 10 times as much money as they are now. But just the valuation will be different.
It really makes you wish you had Doc Brown's DeLorean time machine, huh?
Yeah. Well, but the interesting part is earnings, their PE is 76 and their revenue is 26. Their margin is what, like 60% or something? It's huge.
Yeah. But
now someday, somebody's gonna have another. These other people are not gonna. You and I have talked about this. The only time you maintain a really serious monopoly forever is if the government gets involved. But in this industry, they're sort of involved with Microsoft by letting them off on every antitrust stuff. You know, they're the worst monopolist around, I think, but that's one man's opinion. But I mean, other than letting him buy up everybody else who might be a competitor, I don't think that's going to happen on NVIDIA.
Well, I think with their margins being so large, like you mentioned, that's just the larger they are, that just creates a frenzy of risk takers and entrepreneurs that are going to jump into space.
Okay, but without a doubt. Now the question is, these guys got massive advantages. All right, they got a great product, it appears. They got huge margins. They're growing like a weed. Yet, is $9.50 enough?
Yeah.
Does it have to be $12.50? Does it have to be $15.50? Or you know what? Maybe it could be $800 or $8.50. I mean, I think a lot of people who aren't investors don't recognize there's a massive difference between sometimes how well a company is doing and how much you want to pay for it.
Yeah.
I mean, how much on the come are you going to go? I'm going to say they're not there yet. They're still in the growth thing, and I'll bet Kenny's right that they've got a ways to go. But they're one day closer to being a regular firm than they were yesterday, right?
Well, I think the next big player in the block is somebody who can, what is it, Fusion or Fusion? Fusion?
Yeah, I think it's Fusion.
The thing that they're having a hard time rolling out. I was in the nuclear navy, and I forget. It's been 30 years, but they're trying to create these magnetic fields, and once they create these magnetic fields, and maybe the people behind that are also trying to create these quantum computers because, the energy that's required to run the AI is just off the charts.
Well, why is that? Why is that?
You have these massive, like in Utah, where the NSA has their 7 zettabit data center. They have to use massive quantities of water to cool down those server farms.
But what are they doing? It's because of their incredible access to data that they constantly are accessing data.
It's the data, and it's just the processing. I mean, an AI. If you think about what an AI is, it's basically a bunch of if statements, right? It's a massive tree. If this happens, then do this. If this happens, then do this. Imagine how many. This is what's really cool about the human brain. The human brain is still better than AI, especially when it comes to the amount of power the human brain uses to go through all the decisions it uses. Think about what we do when we drive a car. There's no way an AI today can do what we do when we drive a car. We're constantly making decisions, right?
This is not AI can't do that. It's not an insult. You sound just like Carol.
Yeah. When the amount of energy we use to do that is minuscule, right?
Carl claims that when we did this a few weeks ago, if you were listening, he goes, if you drive down the block, the computing system can remember everything that happened, whether there was a bird in the tree, stuff that you would never even really notice. Yet, when it comes down to figuring out what the most important thing to look at that second, you know in an instant, and the computer can't.
Yeah. Like when I tell my kids while I'm driving, I'm saying, look underneath the tires, look for shadows. I mean, are computers really doing that? I think what they're doing is they're just making observations and they're putting all this data and they're not prioritizing it, right? But humans make an incredible amount of decisions every minute of their life. We're making sink or swim decisions every minute of our life, right? Are we going to text while we're driving? Are we going to text at the light? You know, just crazy amount of decisions. And AI is trying to do that, right? And you need massive amounts of power. And whoever gets to the quantum computer first, the quantum computer, instead of one and zero, only two outcomes,
the quantum computer equivalent
is infinite many of those.
Do me a favor here, will you? Take me down computer history road. When I started on this, I was the, AFE. I was the AFE guy at Pullman. A couple of us were. Authorization for expenditure, and at the time we had a bunch of these IBM computers at some huge bunker in Texas, air conditioned bunker with a water cooled the whole bit, and they did X number of stuff, and they used to go for $21,000 a month, the lease, if you remember that. Then was that the 1075, whatever those things were, and then they came out with the 3033, which did the work of 10 of the other ones, and so you bought a few of those, or at least if you didn't buy them, and then the other ones you couldn't lease to anybody for $1,000 a month, even though you were paying $20,000. That was interesting. But then we've obviously moved way forward in terms of where are we now in terms of these things down the all this power and all this stuff. What do you compare them to? How do you compare them to like a Cray of 10 years ago or 15 years ago? I mean, are they the same kind of computers, or is it just data interaction, or is it calculation? Well, the old ones were calculation, right?
The technology that's been used to run computer software and the output from it is digital, one zeros. And it's been like that since the 1940s, right? In 1944, the Z4. It was the first programmable automatic computing machine. It used 4,000 watts of power and only ran at 40 hertz. It had 64 32-bit registers, 512 bytes of memory. 512 bytes of memory is 0.00000512 gigabytes. Now we got zettabytes. One addition took 0.4 seconds. That right there is where I think we are right now in digital computing. When quantum computing emerges, quantum computing is going to look like what we do today versus what we did in 1944.
But these are we talking? I mean, the original massive computers. Remember this one from Red October. God bless. Was the craze did massive mathematical calculations?
Oh yeah.
But now we're not talking about that. Now we're talking about data access. They're different, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, these things. AI is not doing any calculations. It's just accessing bazillion pieces of history and stuff, right?
Well, it's making binary choices, right? If this happens, else this. I mean, it's just branches and branches of that, right? And the technology is still ones and zeros, right?
Who programs all that? How to tell a thing how to survive? I mean, how to decide?
Yeah.
Who programs it?
Yeah. Well, you know, we have one. In high school, I did a report on lasers, and it ended up being very narrowly on CDs. And all a CD is just a burned pit in plastic and a non-burned surface. And that is how data is stored, and that's how data is stored to this day. You got ones and you got zeros. In the 1950s and 60s, you used punch cards or tape, and you had a hole in the paper tape or the paper card, right? And you would program it by punching holes. And those holes got smaller and smaller and smaller, right? So we're still in the digital age. When quantum computing comes out, it's going to revolutionize everything, and it's going to massively lower the power consumption needed to power the AI. Right.
What is quantum computing?
Well, quantum computing is, right now, you have a one or a zero, right? There's only two ways that a piece of information can be, like, saved with ones and zeros. Quantum computing will allow infinite many values. Instead of 0-1, it can be a 0-1 is going to be replaced by infinite many digits, if you will. Right?
What's the hold up on it?
Well, I think the hold up on it is just like the hold up on moving from DOS, right? We're just not there yet technologically, right? I mean, but we're getting really, really, really close. And when that happens, when quantum computers come out, man, it's going to revolutionize everything. I also think the internet's going to be revolutionized. I think the internet is going to go to a blockchain. I think there's going to be a massive decentralization. These companies like Google and Apple are not green companies. They require mass amounts of energy. Google especially. They have these server farms that just take in all kinds of electricity to run them. They got to air condition them, you got to cool them.
Well, did you hear the guy yesterday?
Computer systems are very centralized. I think in the future, we're going to have like a blockchain, and the internet is going to be totally decentralized, which will be good for freedom and privacy.
Well, what the guy was on yesterday talking about natural gas, now it's gone from 160 up to 2-something, which has been, it actually got down under 170 three times. So if you're a technical person, which I'm not, essentially had a triple bottom. Every time it got down below 170, it was an immediate buy. Well, you never know that when it's happening, right? But it turns out we all should have known, which is easy to say. Hindsight is real easy, isn't it? We all should have known. But guy was talking about how a gentleman on TV, of course, he's in the natural gas industry, but talking about how now the electrical grid needs another. And of course, everything is because of AI, right? We need another 20% in the electrical grid in 3 or 4 years. Well, you're not going to get there any other way except natural gas.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because you can turn those plants on pretty quickly. You're dumping all the coal plants, or as many as you can. There's one new nuke going up, isn't there? They refuse to go to the... by the way, did you ever have any experience or theory part about the... What is it, the sodium chloride or whatever nuke?
Oh, yeah, those are liquid metal reactors. The problem with the liquid metal reactor, the reason why the United States didn't use them is because of the radiation levels. We in the United States, we tend to use water-cooled reactors. And it's because of the radiation that gets into the water that cools the reactor. They're not very efficient, but they're much more safe. The Soviets used liquid metal cooled reactors, and their sailors, you know, were exposed to high levels of radiation. So that really has to do with
what's the one Kyle's talking about? That he just turned the thing off. He thought it was made of salters, or salt was the medium.
Yeah. Well, it's liquid metal. These are liquid metal reactors.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're very, and radiation lasts longer in that medium than it does in water. Adam Rickover, the father of the nuclear navy, was famous in Congress because, you know, Congress people, they don't really know anything, do they?
No.
And they're really fearful of this new technology at the time. I think it was like the 50s when this happened. And Adam Rooker said, this glass of water is water that was in the nuclear power plant. And then he drank it. Because radiation doesn't last very long in water. And that's why we use water reactors in the United States.
So the new way of doing it, like Carl's talking about, you're saying, isn't that the end all?
Well, no, they get these new fourth and fifth generation nuclear power plants that can be portabilized. They can, you can set one up in a city and basically power the city for years, maybe decades, without refueling. The technology is incredible now. You can make them big, or you can make them small.
So why aren't we doing this?
Well, I think it's because, you know, honestly, I don't know why we do it. I mean, I think the left goes all the way back to Three Mile Island incident, where the amount of radiation that was released under Three Mile Island, I think, was less than what you'd get from an X-ray. And there was just this fear created by it. And then when people look at a nuclear power plant, they see all this quote-unquote smoke coming out of it. And it's not smoke. It's water vapor.
Sure is, yeah.
In the cooling tower, right? But they see it, and they think it's pollution.
Well, but you got an awful lot of people that'll fly their jet somewhere to tell you how to turn off your lawnmower. You know, we got somebody going on. SP Futures down 175, NASDAQ Futures down 30. We come back. Yeah, I don't know if you saw this or not, but they're talking about the Trump's neo-populism and what it transfers to in terms of policy. This is spectacular. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell, Ricardo on the board. One dead in turbulence in a Singapore Air flight. Ouch. Thought maybe you bumped your head in one of those things. You never thought you'd die. Some guy died, evidently. Ouch. SP Futures are down 250. NASDAQ Futures down 34. Futures up 15. Not much moving around here over in Europe. We've got some... actually, we're selling off. Not a lot, but a little bit over here. DAX down 95.5%. FTSE down 33.4%. CAC around down 80. It's almost a full 1%, 0.97 over in Asia. Some pretty good sell-offs here. Nikkei, not so much, down 122.3%. Hang Seng, down 415, 2.12. They're still over 19,000, though. Still a 2% move is a lot. Shanghai down 13.4%. Yesterday, as a way of review, the Dow was up, I'm sorry, down 196, breaking their streak. S&P up 5, and NASDAQ up 108. So NASDAQ, I think, might have closed at a record high. Bonds. Down 1 basis point, 4.43. The Bund, unchanged, 2.52. Japan, unchanged, 0.98. Again, trying to get to 1%. Oil, down $1.49, 78.31. Still can't get over 80 or of any kind of stretch. Brent down 154, 82.17. Natural gas down 7 cents, 267. Again, it's up a buck from its low. It's low that it made like three times. RBOB down 4 cents, 249. We've got gold down 790, 2430, way above 2400. So we're up down 34 cents. These guys were down more earlier. 3208, back up over 32 on the silver. Copper up 8 cents, 516. We've got foreign exchange. We got the dollar pretty much unchanged, 1086. Same thing with British pound, 127. We got Bitcoin was rallying earlier. It still is up 1692. That's 2.5%, 71,335. Ricardo, Air Force traffic, weather, sports. Looks like an okay day, maybe a little warm.
It's actually pretty nice, looking pretty nice today. You know, they're saying there's going to be maybe a couple of thunderstorms today or so, but you never know with Chicago, right? It's currently 7:33 a.m. right here. We got 62 degrees Fahrenheit right now with a high of 84 degrees right here in Chicago. Very warm and humid with variable cloudiness. Windy this afternoon. Risk of damaging winds, hail, and tornadoes at night. Tonight will be cloudy and windy with a strong thunderstorm around until after midnight. Storms can bring flooding, downpours, hail, and damaging wind gusts, and an isolated tornado with a low of 61 degrees Fahrenheit. On Phoenix, Arizona, 68 degrees Fahrenheit right now with a high of 96. Plenty of sun today, and tonight will be clear with a low of 67 degrees. On the traffic in Chicago, if you're coming inbound Kennedy from Monroe's, it's going to be about 38 minutes. Inbound Edens from Lane Cook, 64 minutes. Inbound Eisenhower from Wall, 44 minutes. Inbound Dan Ryan from 95th, it's going to be 32 minutes. And Stevenson from 294 to the Dan Ryan is 42 minutes. On the sports in the MLB, the White Sox lost to the Blue Jays 9-3 in Toronto yesterday, and the Diamondbacks lost to the Dodgers in LA. Today, White Sox play the Blue Jays in Toronto again at 6:07 p.m. The Cubs play the Braves in Chicago at 6:40, and the Diamondbacks play the Dodgers again in LA at 9:10 p.m. Back to you, Chief.
Now, you say it's a small storm. It's been causing problems all over the place. Big hail, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, that rarely ever happens when they say it like that, right?
Well, I'm gonna have to get bonked on the head with a big hailstone. I'll say, it doesn't very often happen. You know, yeah, but it still hurts. Now, tornadoes, you stay away from trailer parks, right?
I guess so.
Now, this boy's that nasty. Hal, do you agree with that? Stay away from trailer parks when there's a tornado.
Well, the funny thing is, I grew up in a trailer.
You guys used to dodge. I thought you lived on a farm.
Well, we lived on a farm, but until my dad bought his first farm by himself, we were in a trailer, and we were so poor that we didn't have a double wide. We had a single wide, but we had, you know, tip outs. And my dad would move us around from farm to farm because he had leased land.
You guys actually had a trailer that moved? They never moved, did they?
Yeah, he would pull it with his tractor.
Wow.
And he'd pull it around Idaho, Nevada, Oregon, Washington. And we would live. He'd hook it up.
How long did it take to drive someplace with your tractor, for God's sake?
Oh, it would take forever. And he'd have, like, the blinkers going. But, yeah, he would set up our trailer. I remember him setting it up in first grade in Glensbury, Idaho, next to the potato cellars. And we lived in it. And then during the semester, my first grade year at Glensbury Elementary School, he moved it across the valley to another farm location. And he got the owner of the farm to allow him to plug it into the electrical supply to the potato cellars. And we did that. We did that for years.
What about like water? Six. What about like water and sewage? You plug that
into? There's water, but I remember him in Nevada. We were trying to develop some land for potato growing in Nevada, down by Winnemucca, which is on the border of Oregon and Nevada. It's in the middle of the desert. I mean, the town we lived near was like 20 miles away, and it was basically a gas station and like a 4-room elementary school. And we actually lived in a place called Davytown, which was a ghost town, right?
I assume he had a pickup truck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had a pickup truck. And then what he did is he ran a sewer line about 100 yards away from the trailer, and he buried it in the dirt, and he had to pour in the sewer onto rocks, and my brother and I would ski down the hole. We'd get on their skis and ski down that hole into this pit.
God.
It wasn't even a cesspool. I mean, it wasn't even a septic tank.
I think you need a double wide at least.
But we had six people. That winter in Nevada, we were like, you know, hundreds of miles from anywhere. There was no department store. We had no Christmas trees. We had no Christmas presents. And I remember my mom going out and get a sagebrush Christmas tree for our Christmas tree. A sagebrush tree.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean,
and then my dad drove like 20 hours straight from where we lived at in Nevada to Idaho Falls, Idaho, purchased a bunch of Christmas presents in Idaho Falls, and then turned back around, and that was Christmas Eve. And my mom woke us up at like 8 in the morning. Normally we get up at 1, but she woke us up at 8, and we didn't think there was any Christmas presents, you know, because there weren't any. And we walked in the living room, and my dad had driven all night to get those Christmas presents. And we walked in the living room, and the floor is covered in presents. It was pretty fun.
Well, good for you.
We were in the middle of nowhere, man. Our nearest neighbors were
Republicans. What kind of job did he have out there?
Just trying to turn desert land into potato growing land.
Well, did it ever work?
No.
Well, did he get paid for this?
No. Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, yeah. There's an article here. I don't know how I follow that up. There's an article here by Eamon Jabbers talking about Trump-allied Republicans are changing the GOP's approach to labor, free markets, and regulation.
Yeah.
Conservative economic thinkers have now had 8 years to construct an intellectual and policy framework around Trump's instinctive economic populist message, whatever the hell that is. What they've come up with.
Economists with PhDs want a job.
Yeah, what they've come up with is a set of worker-first, anti-corporate elite policy proposals, increasingly popular within the party and in Trump's economic circles. They argue that the Reaganite low-tax, low-regulation, free-market ideology has not worked out very well for American workers, but has worked out enormously well for corporate elites.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that's the Reagan thing that did that, but he's right. Those guys have done better than workers.
Well, I think the compromise between Democrats and Republicans over the last 30 or 40 years have really, especially in the last 20 years, combined with the Federal Reserve policy, have really made the elites wealthy.
Oh, I mean, what Carl says, you never let anybody, when everybody can't, you can't have some people borrowing money under the inflation rate.
Yeah.
When other people are borrowing at 25%. Anyway, this is a list of the stuff. Now, of course, this is one guy writing it. Oppose a 10% global tariff on all imports. Block American firms from investing in China. Block Chinese firms from access to U.S. capital markets. Impose harsh penalties for employees who fail to comply with immigration laws. Carl must have got a line in here. Eliminate H-2A and H-2B programs for seasonal and agricultural workers. I don't know how you pick all this stuff in California places if you don't have somebody coming in from Mexico, but it's not my area. Award HB1 visas to the highest paying employers.
Yeah, that's probably why Democrats, the whole political landscape is changing. I think the Republicans now are the party of small businesses and maybe non-union workers and maybe even union workers, where the Democrats seem to be the party of billionaires.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It does, doesn't it? How did that change?
Yeah, the funny thing about the history of that is things are fluid in politics, right? During the 1800s, Democrats were the party of Catholics and liturgical Christians from Germany, and the Republicans were the Puritans. And party identification, was based on your religious, the churches you went to.
Well, how did Lincoln become a Republican?
I think it was the Republican Party is came out of that the Whig Party, right? And I think when you look at Lincoln, to me, he's kind of a conflicted person because he's associated with ending slavery in America, but I don't think he was all that sympathetic of the black people that were going to be set free, if his war had been successful, right? I think he was proposing that maybe the freed slaves go back to Africa kind of thing, right?
So, yeah, I don't know, but I have no idea about that, but
yeah.
The interesting part is there were black slave owners.
Yeah, there were. And there were lots of a lot of black freedmen, right?
Yeah, and some of them went and bought slaves.
Yeah, I read a book, one of my students at A&T State University gave me a book called Black Masters. And it was a book that she read in a history class at NCA&T State University, historically black college, that was started around the Civil War times. I think right after the Civil War ended, it was a land grant school. And it was for to train free black men. It was the Black Men's Technical College, how to be, workers in an industry, or farmers, better farmers. But she gave me this book, and I read it, and I was just amazed at this history. So history is not as homogeneous.
No, you don't ever really want to let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Yeah, you know, Native Americans. I mean, the Native Americans, I mean, we think of Native Americans as a homogeneous group of people. And they were warring against each other. There's a book by a history professor from University of Idaho that I read. And, man, just within those cultures, I mean, they were constantly warring with each other.
Everybody tries to look at everything as a... Everybody else, you don't want to spend the time to figure out what the detail is.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think that the Comanche were different than the people, the Indians in New York, I mean, you're out of your mind. You absolutely were not. You know, some of that stuff is if you go through the older bookstores in Scottsdale or Phoenix, you could pick up a lot of that.
The Pilgrims, the Europeans that came here, they were not homogeneous.
No,
there were white Europeans that came to the States, and they were in these communal communities. They weren't married. They didn't have kids. They would escape the Puritan theocracy of these colonies, and they would join Native Americans. And it got so bad that these colonists made it illegal to marry Native peoples. So this whole thing about whites all being identical and Native Americans all being identical.
Oh, no. That's
completely nonsense.
All right. I'm only halfway through my list here because some of these you got to help me with.
Oh, yeah.
Create a $100 billion national development bank for critical infrastructure. $100 billion doesn't seem like that much after this guy put in like a trillion. is that like the import export bank sort of thing? I guess. It says here repeal the National Environmental Policy Act of 1970. What was that? That's not the...
Well, I think that just expanded the power of the EPA, right?
That wasn't the original Aaron Water thing, was it? Couldn't possibly. Reform corporate bankruptcy to mandate 6 months severance for all employees and 1 year's tax liability for local communities. My question with that is, I had this conversation with Lou, I think, in terms of him being our attorney. How do you mandate a bankrupt company do anything? They're bankrupt because they don't need money.
Yeah. Well, I think that if that is one of the planks of this new new platform, you know, I just think of the consequences that could have on firms actually wanting to hire workers and maybe speeds up the adoption of AI and automation.
It's something like the, I don't really like to do this, but it's like something the Democrats would do, promising everybody everything. How do you get money out of a bankrupt company? Required private firms held by public pension funds to publish annual performance data. This one I can't believe that the Republicans impose a financial transaction test of 10 basis points on secondary market sales of stocks, bonds, and derivatives. That would bury an industry. Ban stock buybacks and eliminate tax deductibility of interest. What do you make of that? The interest part. I'm going to say.
Well, I think if all that got adopted, I think it would have the opposite effect. I mean, you're looking at, you know, basically giving employees first crack at corporate assets during a bankruptcy, right? Obama tried doing that, or did that with General Motors, right? He violated the primary bondholders. I think the primary bondholders had first crack at the corporate assets, and he gave the employees first crack at those General Motors assets, right? So I think there's a lot. I mean, if this is true, I'm just looking at it for the first time today. If this is true, it's going to have all kinds of negative impacts on the economy. I don't think it's going to help. I think what this will do is it'll speed up the adoption and elimination of a lot of jobs, and they'll be replaced with automation and AI.
Well, I mean, so, you know, I'm a huge staunch supporter of that the dividends. Corporations should pay the same amount as other people because the Supreme Court said they are other people, but they should be able to deduct dividends. Now, my question is this tax deductibility of interest, where do you stand on this? Because we talked about this when I was in grad school, and that was, you know, more than a couple of years ago. Where I'm going with this for the listeners, if Hal and I get in, somebody says, hey, how about you two? You two bozos build me 10 houses, right? And we say, okay, we'll do it, and we have to finance it, which wouldn't be the best thing. But say we did, and we go over to the Lakeside Bank. So for the next year, while we're building these houses, we had to borrow $5 million from Lakeside Bank. I don't think anybody would conceptually disagree with the fact that since we need capital and we don't have any, we're gonna borrow money from somebody else, essentially use their capital, and we're gonna pay them for that service. It's the same as if we were buying concrete, bricks, washing machines, you name it, for these houses. I really don't think anybody on a logical level would disagree with us, right, Hal? But now flip the other side. Hal and I have run a company that's been around for 150 years, and by our choice, instead of having it 100% equity, meaning stock, we're going to be 50% equity and 50% borrowed money, long-term 30-year bonds, those kinds of things. So we're making the choice. Now, if we went around and said dividends were deductible, like I want to do, we'd solve this problem one way. But if you don't do that, now the question is, why is the long-term interest deductible and not and when the dividends aren't? So what they're saying here, and people have been asking this question, like I said, since I was in grad school, should long-term interest be deductible? Because it's just the way of financing the place. It's the same as stock, only you get to deduct that. That's why people have leverage. Okay, so I know I'm going to be long-winded here, Hal, but if you and I own a hot dog stand, Hal and Chief's Dogs, right? We name it Ricardo. Ricardo's Dogs would probably do better. And we decide, we put up the money, $1 million. Right, so now the next one we put up, it's going to do just as good. We're making a fortune on this thing, right? A lot of dogs. The next one, I could probably make the case. Matter of fact, I know I could. We're idiots to put up another $1 million. Let's put up a half a mil, borrow the other half, pay 6% on it, deduct the 6%. Our return on the half a mil is now way higher than our return would be on $1 million. We're way better off opening two at $500,000 a pop than we are one at $1 million. To the point where it gets so crazy that you leverage, and you blow up. But say we're not going to do that. So why should long-term interest be deductible and not dividends? It's been an interesting question all the way down the line. I don't think anybody questions short-term interest. You know, I'm an electrician. I got to pay the VIG at the electrical store for 4 months until the house gets sold. I don't think anybody says that shouldn't be deductible. But long-term stuff has always been a question, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, is that when they're talking about eliminate tax deductibility of interest, are they talking about any interest payment that is currently deductible or just long-term debt? It
says here, ban stock buybacks and eliminate tax deductibility of interest. That would seem to be all. I can't imagine how you could not deduct short-term. I understand where they're coming from long-term. Now, whether Eamon didn't just make the difference here or whether they're talking about all interest, I don't know.
Well, if they eliminate tax deductibility of interest, wouldn't that provide an advantage
to who?
To stocks, and wouldn't that fuel the stock market?
Well, it just means you pay more interest, pay more taxes.
Yeah, but whenever you tax something, you get less of it, right?
Well, you're
gonna. Wouldn't it dampen corporate?
Well, you'd end up having to float more if you didn't want it, and then if you said, "Well, I don't want to pay taxes on it," or I don't want to. I want it to be deductible when it isn't. Instead of being 50% long-term interest, I'm going to be 10% if at all. It means you got to go out and raise more capital.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's positive or negative. I have to think about that.
Well, if they're going after, you know, elites who are profiting from the Fed pumping money into the system, and which pushes up and creates these bubbles, then I think it's going to work in the opposite way that they maybe expect.
Well, the idea, I'm sure that what the suspicion is now is people are deducting all the interest. They're having these companies highly leveraged, and when the stock goes up, they're just buying it back, and then a few people are benefiting. They're right about that.
Yeah.
What stock deductibility is, being able to buy back stock is not. It has not been legal forever, right? Is it like the last 10, 15 years? I should look this up.
I don't think it's illegal because, isn't that what...
Ricardo, do us a favor. Google Legality of stock buybacks. I think it's been in the last 20 years.
I mean, I think corporations buy stock from people who are on boards and are CEOs, right?
Well, no, I'm talking about the stuff they get right in the open market and buy it.
Oh, okay.
That's what we just came out with. Was it Apple or something said they're going to buy back? How many? They want to buy it back. They want to keep the stock price up because I'm sure everybody knows, if Hal and I are in a boardroom and all these people in there have stock options at a certain price. So in other words, I'll pick one here at the top of the table. American Express, trading 242. If I've got stock options at 260 and somebody says, we got all this cash, why don't we pay a $10 dividend? This is somewhere between a stink bomb and a fart in church, right? Because guess what? The stock opens at 230, right?
Yeah.
Now if you go buy the stock back, and you drive it over 260, maybe I can exercise my options and make money on something that was worth nothing the day before. So it's totally counterproductive in my mind. But you're buying all the stock back. Plus, it's not exactly a return to shareholders. It's a return to the shareholder who doesn't want to be there anymore, right? He's the one who sold it to.
Yeah.
But I mean it is not. It's been the game here. Matter of fact, we had somebody on the show that said it was a while ago. It said in the last decade, almost all the stock, all the new money that's come into the market has been firms buying their own stuff back.
Hmm.
Didn't United Airlines?
I mean, it kind of makes sense to me because, I mean, with interest rates really being really, really low, these firms can, you know, issue bonds that are basically, they're paying interest, 0% interest, because if you adjust for inflation, their interest payments are probably close to zero in real terms. And so you have all this leverage that you wouldn't have otherwise. And so you'd have all this cash you wouldn't have otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
So it makes sense that would end up in stock buybacks.
Well, didn't United Airlines went BK in 2011, right?
What's that?
United Airlines went BK in 2011, right?
Not
2011, 2001 with a Y2K. Now
oh,
Y2K,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
When was 9/11?
Yeah.
They went BK, correct?
And BK?
Bankrupt.
Oh, bankrupt, okay.
And the stock was worthless.
Yeah.
And from there to 2007, I think they used virtually all the cash flow. I should look at this before. A real lot of the cash flow to buy stock back. I would think if you and I were on the board, we would have said, humorous, will you buy one plane, buy two planes, actually just pay for the plane instead of buying stock back. They issued more stock and I just bought it back. Now, the next crisis happens. Now, I know they're not going to own every plane, but don't you think if we owned 50 planes, it would be easier the next crisis? We'd have to pay this lease thing every day?
Yeah.
They won't do it. Everything's a lease. Everything's a lease and buy the stock back. It's insanity.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Federal Reserve does. That's what central banks do. I was looking at the value of gold and gold mining stocks as a percent, and it just plummeted. I posted on Twitter, but all it means is we have these central banks around the world are just printing money together, and they're just creating this massive inflation. And when they do that, credit is probably... doesn't cost elite prime borrowers anything. In fact, they're probably, because of the inflation, they're probably having the banks that they borrow from or the people they borrow from paying their interest because the inflation rate is greater than the rate of interest that they're charged.
To the elite.
So it's going to lead to lots of...
Well, all you have to do now is take a look at the price of sports franchises.
Yeah.
Those guys are totally elites and they're borrowing under the... Do you think somebody would pay, you know, $5 billion for a team if they actually had
not
to pay?
Not cash.
Well, I mean, even if it wasn't cash, of course, nobody even knows this anymore. There's an implied interest cost to everything, right? Because you could turn around and put it in a bank. Well, for a while, put it in a bank, get nothing. So there was no implied interest cost. But right now, if you pay $5 billion for a place, you can get $5.5 billion in a T-bill. So even if you have the cash, it'd be nice to have $5 billion, wouldn't it? Yeah. It's still going to cost us, well, $5 billion, 10% would be $500 million. it's still our implied cost is $250 million a year. Because the PTI, anybody can just turn around and put it in a T-bill, and that's $250 million a year. So that's what I'm not getting by putting the money in this team. Now, is the team going to make $250 million a year? I doubt it. I doubt it very seriously.
But think about the rise in the value of that asset, right?
Well, that's my point. All you do is drive the asset price up. But, I mean, I'm going to say the Bears, for instance, because they're in play here with the new stadium, I don't know exactly, but I'm going to say $200 million a year. Right, so the stadium's going to cost $5 billion. That's how the hell did they write that check? They don't have that money.
Yeah.
But nobody thinks that way anymore. You know? I've been in the late 70s, early 80s, all you talked about was interest rate. If I were to say, Hal, you won the $1 million in the lotto, by the way, you get paid 10 years from now, you almost would say, forget it. Because the rates are 15%. What's that worth?
Yeah,
300 grand, 400 grand?
I think since the 1980s, after they got inflation under control, I think all the benefits of the Fed have just accrued to the top, the cream of the crop.
Well, yeah.
Gold and gold miners as a percent of total global assets was basically hovering in the 20s, 20 to 30, all the way from 1921 to 1981, and today it's at 1%.
Right,
that just tells you how much inflation is out there.
Okay, so explain this to me, since I have a lot of clients in this stuff. And by the way, we've had a really good last couple of months in this GDX, which is the Gold Miners Index. If you even went to the last time gold was 2,100 and now it's 2,400, if you were to extrapolate, which, you know, careful about doing, GDX should be 55 to 60, and it's 37.
Yeah.
Why are the gold miners, is their cost going up that much to where they're not making any more money than they did when it was 1,800? I can't believe that. And yet they don't go up. They go up. Like I said, we've had a really good last couple of months because we've kind of doubled up on it. But they're not even close to what they ought to be. Do you have any
idea? Well, I think the reason why is because there's other places to hedge, right? You got other inflation hedges. You got Bitcoin, and you got treasury protected treasuries, right?
Tips. Well, I'm saying that, but the gold is going up. People are mining stuff, isn't?
That's in the absence of the competition to be higher, right? It's got competition. You got Bitcoin, you got other cryptos, and you got tips.
What is this?
And that stuff didn't exist in the 1980s.
I don't think Bitcoin, is there an asset there anyway? What exists there? You don't even get a tulip, do you?
But I think people are using it as a hedge against inflation, right? And that's one of the purposes of gold, is to use it as a hedge for inflation. So you have lots of choices for hedging against inflation today.
Yeah, well, boy, this Bitcoin phenomenon, I'm dying to see how this plays out.
Well, if central banks keep inflating, it's going to keep going up.
But it's essentially an artificial stack at this point. It's not a currency.
Yeah.
Anyway, S&P futures down 8 and NASDAQ futures down 60. Hal, good stuff, buddy. Have a nice week. Talk at you next week. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Bye.
That's all, folks.